You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. And because I'm on my annual summer beach vacay, I wanted to share some summer reading from my book with you right now. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. So, you know, I wrote a book, right? And even though it's a cooking one, I was able to stuff more words in it than I do spinach in smoothies. And in this episode, which I'm recording just before I go on my annual summer beach vacation, where I will be glued to sand and books for 3 weeks, I wanted to read some of the words in my book all about how to turn your clean food frown upside down. So obviously, if this tickles your fancy, by the way, did you know that my second AIM screen name, the one after my first one, Green Apple Girly, was Tickle Me Talia? I was so on brand even back then. But you have my full permission to go purchase Party in Your Plants, 100 plus plant-based recipes and problem-solving strategies to help you eat healthier without hating your life, anywhere books are safely and sanitarily sold. PartyInYourPlants.com will take you to all the major retailers, or you can just hop your fingers on over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, or Walmart and buy yourself and your best friend a copy today. That's PartyInYourPlants.com to grab a copy or 19 of my book that an Amazon reader said, "I've been following Talia for at least a few years and was so excited to hear about her book, and it did not disappoint. I've purchased cookbooks from chefs I admire before, but this is the first book I actually regularly cook from. That's because her recipes are easy, simple, approachable, healthy, and most importantly, her words, not mine, delicious. She comes across in the book just like she does on her podcast and Instagram. Funny, fun, authentic, and informative. I'm vegan," she's saying this, "and would highly recommend this to all my friends, vegans and non-vegans alike. I love this book." Thank you. I love that review. Since this reading explores ways to make healthy eating totally not suck, our sponsor is a way that makes healthy eating totally not suck by making getting greens as easy as drinking water. My best friends over at Amazing Grass, who grows amazing greens, did this amazing thing with their grasses and greens by putting them into little portable tablets that dissolve into water but provide a legit dose of green nutrition that has one full serving of greens and veggies plus 100% daily vitamins B1, B12, C, and E. On the beach, I love their hydrate effervescence, which add in the hydrating electrolytes like potassium, magnesium, calcium, sodium, chloride, and vitamins B1 and B12. I add their strawberry lemonade flavored effervescent tablet to my water and sip it oceanside and feel, well, amazing because of the amazing grasses and the green. To make Amazing Grass even more amazing, they're offering Party in My Plants podcast listeners 40% off. Yes, 40. That's almost half off, which is 50. Your Amazing Grass orders, if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use coupon code PLANTPARTY40 at checkout. And now, part two of my book, Party in Your Plants, When Healthy is Healthy, and How to Turn Your Clean Food Frown Upside Down. Healthy eating doesn't have a universal definition, which sucks, by the way. How much easier would life be if healthy was like an outlet with one hole we could all plug into and foreigners could simply buy a universal adapter? But it's more like headphone cords, which somehow always get tangled in seconds no matter what we do, causing chaos and stress and burden. Luckily, in order to live a life wherein simply fixing a meal for yourself isn't as screwy as a headphone cord, I've created my own universal adapter. Healthy eating equals eating more plants in a given lifetime, year, week, day, meal, snack, drink, than you do crap. Everyone seems to swear by their specific diet, right? There are Zone fanatics and Whole30 devotees. Millions of people are reliant on Weight Watchers, committed to being paleo or vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, lacto-ovo, or octagonal vegetarian. And while they may disagree on grains, oils, meat, dairy, and so on, they all have one thing in common: plants. You will never meet a diet that doesn't encourage more plants, more produce, more fruits and veggies. Hell, Weight Watchers even bribes people to eat more plants. 0 points, darling. Focusing on eating more plants and less crap is the simplest and healthiest way to live. It's not about a label, not about rules, and has nothing to do with restriction. A plant-based diet also doesn't mean vegan, though it could. It doesn't mean paleo, though it could mean that too. It just means that the bulk of your diet comes from plants. So what even are plants? Plants are not made in a factory. They are things that someone, maybe you, but probably a farmer, planted. They're the living colors that line the perimeter of the grocery store. They grow mold, which is frustrating, but it just means that they're alive, which is a good thing. They don't have pretty packaging, celebrity endorsements, or clever marketing slogans. They are fruits, veggies, nuts, seeds, legumes, whole grains, pure oils, and herbs. And what is crap? Crap is chemical, refined, artificial, and processed foods. It comes in boxes, bags, or wrappers. It flashes bright, well-branded labels like natural, healthy, good source of fiber, whole grain, fresh, sugar-free, low fat. It's the snack that you find in the dusty box in your pantry and remember you bought it 2 years ago, but yet it hasn't aged at all. It has ingredient lists longer than your grocery store list and includes words that sound made up because those ingredients are made up in a lab. It's pre-made food you can open, heat, and eat now. It's frozen dinners, bags of chips, boxes of cereal, baggies of baked goods, bars, bottles, cans, juices, and tubs. And finally, what is plant-based? A plant-based diet means that the base of your diet is plants. Plants are what you mostly eat. It's the food group where most of your calories come from, the majority shareholder of the real estate on your plate, your shopping cart, your fridge, and your Instagram feed. I can hear you wondering, am I supposed to only eat plants? I say, only eat only plants if you want to. Since plants are the most nutritionally dense stuff you can consume, the more, absolutely the merrier. But that is not to say that there can't be room for cheese, cake or cheesecake, chicken or chips. Some call it the 80-20 rule, but I don't like numbers or rules, so I call it the eat more plants than crap principle. Your body can handle Cheetos. One of the notions that trips people up is thinking that healthy eating means being perfect. This is fake news. Healthy eating isn't an all-the-time thing. It's most of the time that matters most. I tell the college students I speak to that they can still wind up with an A in class even if they get some B's and even a C. I tell the clients I work with that it's possible to win the Super Bowl if you lose some preseason games. And I tell my mom that I am still an angel of a daughter, even if I screamed, "I hate you," more than once growing up, because true love is unconditional. This all-or-nothing approach is a huge reason why healthy eating can feel like a raw deal. Thinking it's either nada or the full Monty causes people to quit before they start, because who wants to make that choice about anything? The truth is, our body can handle some Cheetos. Unless you have a specific allergy, your body can figure out what to do when it has to digest a little crap. Throughout this book, and for the rest of your life, I encourage you to simply focus on eating more plants than you do crap. Health and happiness will follow. It couldn't be simpler, but simple doesn't mean easy. This is where my whole Party in Your Plants thing comes into play. I created Party in My Plants to make eating well as fun and as joy and as enjoyable and as non-sucky as a party. When you try it, you will feel so fantastic that life will feel like a daily fiesta too. Long gone are the days that eating healthfully had to be a drag. Those days haven't been the days since Ross and Rachel were on a break. It's time to party in your plants. Oh, and much like I accidentally always leave my reusable shopping bags at home, I want to encourage you to intentionally leave your self-judgment and why am I the worst-ness out of all of this. For what it's worth, I'm not judging you either. When healthy is healthy. If healthy eating was easy, obvious, inexpensive, and fun, you'd be doing it. I know that, you know that, advertising agencies know that. But healthy eating is often not easy, obvious, inexpensive, and fun. I also know that, and you know that, and advertising agencies definitely know that. Point being, I'm not sitting here on my high hemp seed horse saying, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's so easy and dreamy to eat a pound of plants at every meal. I'm sitting here in my swivel chair with lumbar support telling you that you are 10,000% entitled to feel that it is a struggle. There's a lot of pressure out there to feel that eating plants is no big deal. I want you to know it is a big deal. Here is my empathy. Just take it. Put it in your pocket or your wallet or magnet it to your fridge. Whenever I give a talk, I do a cliche yet effective thing. I say, how many of you think in some way, shape, or form that healthy eating kind of sucks? Every single person puts their arm up. I laugh and say, great. Well, I've made it my job to try to change your mind. That's going to be as easy as telling you that thigh gaps don't matter or that Jell-O shots aren't fun, which usually gets a roaring laugh when I'm speaking at a college. At that one women's church group, not so much. Sorry, ladies. The point is, it's not easy to convince anyone that Jell-O shots aren't fun, so that's not my goal. I'm also not going to try to convince you that the things that make you feel like eating healthier is a burden, waste of your time, pain in the ass, embarrassing, annoyance aren't real. I'm just going to say something my mama used to say to me, which is, you can't complain if you can't explain. At least it sounds like something she would say when I'm grumbling about sorting my laundry by color. So to my mama's hypothetical point, let's explain that about which you complain. Getting clear about what puts the hell into healthy eating. This section is intended to make you feel as good as that moment you come home from work and take off your bra. Or if you don't wear bras, it'll make you feel as good as that moment when you realize exactly what's been holding you back and are filled with so much clarity and peace and excitement that your best life is in plain sight. If you didn't know, that's what it feels like to take off your bra. For the past 5 years, I've been collecting data. I ask everyone who comes across my website or who I meet in person or share an Uber pool with about their biggest hurdle when it comes to eating healthfully. From the thousands of brains that I've picked, I've come to some rad conclusions. First, when given the opportunity to vent about something we should be doing that we feel shame and frustration about not doing, it feels awesome. It can be amazing just to acknowledge your struggles and get them off your chest, much like a bra. Second, it's not about the recipes. If you're like most of my clients, you've probably already made a full file of photogenic meals that you'll never cook. The social stuff is much trickier. Fitting new eating habits into already existing routines, work schedules, hobbies, passions, social circles, family culture. No one wants their life to revolve around their diet. Rather, they want their diet to squeeze seamlessly into their full-to-the-max life. When healthy eating feels like a burden, you will not prioritize it over existing routines, hobbies, etc. And that's understandable. It's important. It's even essential because here's the honest to God scientific truth. Eating healthy while you're unhappy about it benefits you about as much as expired sunscreen. When healthy eating feels like hell, it causes inflammation in your body and disruption to your gut and diminishes your body's ability to digest and assimilate whatever you're eating, so it's ultimately a waste. Unless you get clear on what's holding you back, you can bookmark all the pretty recipes you want and fill your produce stores from the farmer's market, but you will continue to let those whoopie pies into your life. Is it hard when your coworker brings in donuts? Does it stink when you're beat after a long day and your loved one throws a fit when dinner includes colors other than Kraft Orange? Is it embarrassing to order on dates when you're self-conscious about seeming high maintenance? Believe it or not, coming clean with yourself is the only step you need to take for smooth sailing into plant-packed paradise. I will catamaran you from there. So on the next page, my friend, listener, on page 21 of the book, I go through the most common healthy eating struggles. So I'm not going to read those here. You'll have to read the book. It's on page 21. It just will sound weird reading it here, but that is what I do. And there's like a bajillion of them. So now I'm turning to page 23 and reading from the top, which says, how healthy eating is like a hairy shower drain, an analogy that'll hopefully stick with you. I once lived in a pre-war five-floor walk-up in Lower Manhattan. The floor number is not relevant, but I want to paint a picture. To keep that picture painted, you should know that my apartment was the smallest apartment known to man, too small to fit a bed frame and a dresser, so my mattress was on the floor. I was able to wash dishes, go to sleep, brush my teeth, cook, eat, and watch TV, all without picking up my pivot foot. Again, not really relevant, but stick with me. My shower had one of those old drains without a cover or a stopper or anything. It was just an open hole. But after living in this 120 square foot apartment for a few months, the hole wasn't so open. When I showered, the tub would fill with water. Even though my toe hairs, come on, we all have them, were enjoying the extra conditioning from the soapy water, I was completely grossed out about showering ankle deep in muck. I knew I had to unclog the drain. But I also knew that I'd rather pull a full Britney Spears head shave than go into my pre-electricity era drain and pull out globs of moldy hair from the 1800s. I am currently gagging just thinking about it. So I just miserably showered in knee deep for the next 8 months until it got fixed. And by got fixed, I mean I moved. This is all to say that if we hate doing things, even if the consequences of not doing those things mean we're showering in yucky water that makes you want to die, we still won't do those things. If you don't enjoy eating a certain way, damn straight you won't do it. I mean, you're talking to a person who almost flooded her apartment just to avoid what had to happen. If you're not eating healthfully with ease or with joy right now, or if just reading healthy eating sucks gives you a butterfly or two in your stomach because it's your honest to God truth, then accept it. It's only once you're able to come out of the clean food isn't enjoyable closet that we can identify why that is and hire a plumber. Oops, I got my analogies mixed up. We can find solutions that'll actually work. So let's get clear. You can't white knuckle kale. I've been harping on this whole the benefits of healthy eating don't outweigh the stress of it, huh? And that's partially because I want you to be a happy person who doesn't resent something that can radically up-level your life. And yeah, because willpower studies have proven that if something sucks, you will not stick with it, no matter how much gusto you start with. But the real reason is because when we eat while angry, resentful, anxious, or in any negative emotional state, we impair our body's ability to take in that wholesome stuff and do something worthwhile with it. If you white-knuckle kale, you're negating the benefits of the kale. No joke, stress is worse for you than deep-fried cheese, which is why I always tell people that I'd rather they eat deep-fried cheese sticks with a smile than Brussels sprouts with a bitch face. Surely you've heard aphorisms like don't eat while standing up, don't eat while walking, or don't eat while you're upset. It's been said that the gut is the seat of emotion, and the research confirms that's basically a second brain. After the brain in your head, your gut has the largest bundle of nerves in your body, over 100 million neurons hustling inside your intestinal wall. And much like your brain sends signals to the rest of your body, your gut DMs your brain about how everything's going on the flip side of your belly button. While when your brain is stressed or anxious, its midriff BFF shuts down its digestive capabilities to allow more blood flow to potentially flee or fight. If you're feeling anxious about whether your kids will eat cauliflower tonight, resentful that your coworker gets to have Mindy's maternity leave party ice cream cake and you don't, cursing the world because you're spending your weekend meal prepping instead of playing golf, whatever it is, those negative emotions are worse for you than a donut, even half a donut. Hell, they're probably worse for you than a donut hole. If your digestive system is on hiatus because it thinks you need that blood flow elsewhere, even though you're just thinking about how much you'd rather be eating a BLT than just a tea, the food you're eating resentfully can fly through your system way too quickly to give the nutrients a chance to be absorbed and let you reap the benefits. This makes the whole healthy eating thing almost pointless. I once read that stress is an acute threat to homeostasis. Homeostasis is inner peace. When your inner state is chilling in equilibrium and health, stress knocks that well-being out of balance. And chronic stress has a significant effect on our immune system too. Rather than continue to freak you out, I'm going to assume you get the point, right? Eating healthfully while pissed is close to pointless. So we've got ourselves into a dill pickle here. Healthy eating can be a buzzkill, but not eating healthfully can just kill you. Sorry if that sounds dramatic, but it's true. It can increase your risk for cancer, diabetes, heart disease, obesity, stroke, and Alzheimer's, in addition to just making your day-to-day life harder than it needs to be. Somewhere along the way, we lumped together a healthy inside with a skinny outside, like the dancing twin emoji girls. But wearing size zero pants doesn't mean you eat enough plants. And eating plants doesn't mean you wear zero pants. I mean, size zero pants. I know this is a depressingly normal thought process because I've been there and I've heard it from nearly every woman I've coached or casually spoken to in a grocery store line. Why am I stuck eating a salad, seizing it with my tears while my bestie chomps down pizza, burgers, and milkshakes and stays so thin? My office is loaded with junk food and my coworker stays skinny even though they down bags of chips. If I try that, I inflate like a balloon. No one ever said accents, voices, or my skill set. Okay, listen. Look, just because someone fits into sample sizes does not mean they're not experiencing the negative effects of eating crap in invisible to you ways. You can't see high blood pressure. And if you're the one able to eat whatever the heck you want and still fit into your prom dress, it doesn't mean you also don't need to pay attention. A top-notch diet can help you find a happy, calm, comfortable weight, but it's not necessarily a weight loss diet. Instead, it's the permanent route to feeling, looking, thinking, and living your best life. You don't know the glow you don't know. Nicole started working with me to, in her words, lose weight, stop body shaming myself, and get my independence with food choices back. She had so much anxiety, guilt, and stress associated with food that she felt terrible about everything she ate while believing that nothing she did was good enough. Even though she knew it caused a ruckus in her gut kiss, she ate ice cream and red meat and made frequent stops at Chipotle or Chick-fil-A. When she got stressed, she'd have an extra glass of wine, get a little lazy, and make indulgent choices that she later regretted. She needed help getting back to a lifestyle that would allow her to finally get her body and happiness back. We talked about ways to comfortably eat more plants and less crap, starting with a simple morning routine, waking up, making a smoothie, sweating, showering, and chilling with a plant protein-packed breakfast. We craving-clenching welcomed banana ice cream after a low-stress dinner. We swapped healthy processed bread for a hearty sprouted bread, perfect for snacks of avocado toast or nut butter toast with blueberries or apple. I aimed to empower her to feel the joy of consistency. 6 days later, I got a text from Nicole saying that she had so much energy it was quote unquote unreal. She couldn't stop smiling and talking and was worried about coming across as obnoxiously chipper. She was glowing. Her coworkers asked if she was seeing someone new. A couple months later, Nicole was still going strong, not because I sent her some superhuman willpower via my smartphone, but because she now knew how incredible she could feel. She had no idea that along the journey, she'd stumble upon a stockpile of energy that made her question how she'd been able to live all her 28 years prior without it. Your plan to party in your plants. You can't have or spell a plant party without plan. It's like how you can't have a charged phone without a phone charger. The last thing you want is for your phone to die while you're out and about living your life. So you take the 3.9 seconds to grab your charger and stick it in your bag, plus bonus battery in your pocket. That's not a burden, right? To plan how you'll keep your battery charged? The same logic applies to eating better. The first thing to do, which will also help you keep track of how much better you feel after you learn to party in your plants, is to write down the specific ways you think your crummy diet is affecting you. Get out a piece of paper or your notes app and list them out right now. Write down what happens when you eat crappy foods, when you don't take care of yourself, when the only plant you eat all day is a tomato on your tuna salad sandwich. And then make a list of all the amazing things that happen when you eat right. I'll bet my Vitamix that if you can consistently remind yourself of the negative stuff that happens when you don't eat well and the positive stuff that happens when you incorporate more plants, you'll be able to make a lasting change as easily and automatically as keeping your phone charged. Just like you might buy a portable backup charger doohickey, keep a spare charger in your purse, or place your phone on low battery mode to keep it running, this book is packed with plant-eating doohickeys, spare plants you can keep in your purse, and clever tricks that'll help you eat great and feel even better. Let's party. And that leaves us on page 27 of Party in Your Plants. Okay, so I know I said last week was my favorite part of the book, but this one is too. The whole you don't know the glow, you don't know thing is just the truest ever. I think about it all the time, and I actually just talked about it on another podcast I was the guest on. So, you know, if I were to take all the questions I receive from clients and followers and friends and cook them down into a stew, I would wind up with a huge, delicious pot of willpower. So I've begun working on something to help you with that. It's a project I've had brewing inside me that I'm soon gonna pour into a mug and share with you like the most delicious matcha latte you've ever drank. If willpower is something you're struggling with, I encourage you to please, pretty please, with an organic cherry on top, take my short survey to alert me of your willpower woes so I can understand the absolute best way to help you never woe over willpower again. Go to partyinmyplants.com/willpower for this 30-second anonymous survey that'll help me help you leaps and bounds. That's partyinmyplants.com/willpower. And that's a thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. Don't hesitate, you know, to pick up a copy of my book, Party in Your Plants, wherever books are safely and sanitarily sold. And I will chat with you again soon.